Hello, 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 and welcome to another episode of the Sabrina Zohar Show. I am Sabrina Zohar, and I am your host. Welcome back, babes. It is AMA Tuesday. It is in the trenches, and today we're answering your questions. We're doing dating app profile audits, and we are going to get in the trenches with you guys. And by we, I mean me. And so, as always, I'm so freaking grateful for you guys. Thank you, thank you. To anybody that's new, welcome to the show. And to anybody that is an OG, we love to have you. As always, guys, please don't forget, rate and review the show, and please speak with kindness. You guys leave the most beautiful reviews and comments, and it fills my heart. And it's okay if we don't agree, but we can speak with respect to each other because this is a community of safety that we're building. And all I ask is that in return. And please don't forget, share it with a friend, tell everyone you know about the show, and just thank you. Thank you guys every single day for showing up and for being here with me and allowing me to show up as me so that you can be here as you. So without further ado, let's get right on into it. Hi, babes. Welcome back to another bonus episode. I love my time with you guys. And I've been, as you know, I've been trying to do more solos. So I hope you guys like them. Leave them in the comments if you do. If you're like, fuck yeah, I'm here for it. And if not, and you want more guest episodes, let me know who you'd want on. I'm open to it. But I just wanted to take a second and give you guys a little bit of an update for me. So as you guys know, we're here, we're moved, we're in our new studio. And I've been struggling with my own mental health. Like, I always like to lift the veil so you guys don't think like I'm living on cloud nine and I'm just so in, you know, fucking all of these things. And it's like, no, again, I still wake up in the mornings feeling scared, feeling worried, feeling, oh God, am I going to lose everything? Do people not like me? And it's like, those are my core beliefs. Those are things that I deal with every day. And it doesn't matter. Again, you could give me $1 million tomorrow and I'd be like, ooh, but I'm going to spend it all. Because a fear, a fun fact that I just learned actually, was that our brain will go to the amygdala, which is your fear center, 10 to 12 times faster than it will default to going to your prefrontal cortex. That's why going towards fear, overthinking, spiraling, all those things feels a little bit more like baseline. And so it's easier for us to go to that. And now what we're here together to do is to break those loops, is to come back to the present moment and to remember, like, we're in this together, that we're not going to be alone. You're not going to lose everything tomorrow. And that if anybody even does leave you, that's okay, because baby, you have you. So we're going to answer your questions today and we're going to go on. Now, of course, as you guys know, we have the courses. I always, and to everybody that's like, God, Sabrina, you say the same thing every episode. You're right, because we have new people every single fucking day and we have to remind you guys. We've got 4 courses. If you need them, go check them out. There's the foundation, the nervous system, the breakup, self-love. I am here for you guys. You can work one-on-one, ask a question. There's some free guides, whatever you guys need. Everything's in the show notes or sabrinazohar.com. So just some housekeeping. Okay, shall we? Let's get into it. Hey, Sabrina. I've been seeing this guy for a month now. He's been the sweetest ever and has done nothing but make me feel comfortable each day that we've talked and hung out. I decided to invite him out to a Pride event. He was great until we got into the nightclub. He spent almost the entire night walking around with his 2 friends and leaving me behind, sending me to get them all water and going to the bathroom every 5 minutes. I tried to kiss him like always and he pulled away like I just put a bug on his face or something. I fucking hate when people do this. On top of that, I saw him exchanging numbers with another guy in front of me with no hesitation from either of them. It truly ruined my night to witness. Fair. When we took his friends home and it was just the 2 of us, he went back to being the sweetest, caring, touchy guy he's been for the past month. I finally worked up the courage to tell him watching him exchange numbers with another guy in front of me felt like I hurt my feelings. And his response was to say, it's not his fault. He's so attractive and it happened all night. I feel replaceable, confused by his actions. And I've been crying about this for the last 48 hours. My friends want me to tell him we're done, but part of me wonders if I'm overreacting at all. Thank you so much for everything, Tyler. Oh, baby. Okay, first off, your feelings are so fucking valid and real. Of course you're gonna feel hurt. Like, I don't know any human on the planet, unless you're not into this person, that's gonna be like stoked to watch the person that they like give their phone number and flirt with someone else right in front of them. And the reason that I think your friends are right, that it's time to be done, is not anything that you or him has done necessarily. It's behavior, it's patterns. He took no ownership. It's one thing if he was like, hey, that makes so much sense that me doing this in front of somebody else hurt you. I am so sorry. I didn't even think about it. That was really selfish of me. What can I do to make you feel better? Right? There was no accountability. There was no getting curious. There was nothing. It was deflection. It was excuses. Well, sorry, I'm so attractive. And it's like, oh, is that what it was? I had no idea. That's not what it was. And it has nothing to do with being so attractive. I have been with some of the most good-looking people. I myself, and I'm not the most attractive woman in the world. I'm not going to fucking say that I am. But I have been out before where it's like, yeah, you're getting hit on. And you tell somebody like, hey, sorry, I have a partner. Or I'm here with somebody. And what it sounds like is that this gentleman wants to have his cake and eat it too. And he's putting you down. No wonder then you're spiraling and you're ruminating and you're starting to question, because he didn't validate and say, you're right, that is really hurtful. It was, well, that's, I'm attractive and this is how it goes. And so what this person's saying is, well, that's me. Take me or leave me. So my question is, what are your choices? Right? You cry, you can get it out. But I'd be curious, what are you crying about? It's not about him. It's not, you didn't mention anything of him. I feel obviously replaceable, valid, and confused. Replaceable. Okay, core belief, right? Hitting a wound. And that's real. I don't know anybody that wouldn't feel like that. And you're like, oh, okay, so you don't give a fuck about me. Noted. Good to know. But really, the confused by his actions, valid. But I think this is where I would have to say, okay, what are we confused about in the sense where, like, he's told you who he is. He has told you now, because I think where I'd say confusion is like, have you guys had conversations prior to this of like that you're into monogamy, that you guys really like each other? And maybe you have. And maybe this guy is just an asshole, right? I don't know. Because I don't want to fill in the blanks. I don't want to assume things. And let me also just preface, in case I haven't, in case you're new and you haven't heard me say this yet. When you guys write in, feel free to put as much detail and nuance that matters into the story. Because a lot of times you guys will ask questions, not you guys, I'm saying you guys in ethereal. They'll ask a question of like, my partner did this, what do I do? Or should I end it with them? And it's like, what you guys are asking me is your fucking life. I take that shit really seriously, that you are asking me about advice on how you should move forward with something. So I'm going to give you guys a lot of the nuance about it because I care about your life and I care about your decisions. And I want to make sure that I am guiding you effectively and not just leaving you to the wolves and being like, oh yeah, fuck them, leave them. I mean, it's like, that might not be the best advice. For this guy though, I think what I would look at is the part of you that is wondering if you overreacted. Could we get curious about that part? Because I think what happens is like when we look at the lens through IFS and we start to see the part of you, maybe the shame, the exiled part is the part of you that's like, hey, I really want to be loved. I want to be respected. I want somebody that chooses me. And then these exile, you know, then we, these shadow, these exile, whatever, like these protector parts come out to be like, nope, get back out of there. You're going to get hurt if you want that. That's stupid. You dumb fuck. No, no, no. You're an idiot. You're overthinking. You're overreact, right? Those protector parts are coming in to protect us. Like, no, no, no. Oh my God, sound the alarms. They're going to get hurt. They can't express themselves. They can't open up. And so what we have to look at and say is, do I actually believe that I'm overthinking? Like truly in my gut, do I look at that little that says that really hurt my feelings? Do I look at him and go, oh my God, you're so dramatic? I don't. I look at that little saying, yeah, you're right. You have every right to be hurt. I don't think you're being overdramatic. I think you're actually being dramatic enough. I think that you are holding the pinch matches the ouch here that what this person did was hurtful in the way he spoke to you. But what I would say is, does that feel familiar? Who does your little think is talking to him right now when that person said that, when he said that to you, that I'm just attractive and it happened all night? Is that a caregiver who didn't take accountability, who made it you that was the problem, who made your issues the issue? Whatever it is, it's okay. But I want to start to understand and get curious about the part of you that's coming out that needs us right now and is asking. And for me, I am going to let that part know. And whoever is listening right now, you have every right to be upset about this and you have every right to take up space about it. That the person for you is somebody that's going to validate how you feel. That's going, because right now I could all but imagine how you feel right now probably is pretty goddamn familiar. Pretty familiar in the sense where, like, I would imagine you felt this before, whether it be a childhood or early adult life. But you felt dismissed like this before. You felt replaced like this before. So let's go get curious and go back to that part. I'll never tell you what to do. That's not my job. But what I will say is, if it were me, I'd be running for the hills. All right, next question. Hey, Sabrina, I recently found your podcast and I've been listening a lot while traveling for work. Yay! Welcome to the family, babies. I've been going backwards through the catalog and just finished the episode on cheating and cheaters, which hit hard. If you guys haven't listened to that, that's me and John Kim from, I think, November 2023. So it's like episode 50, I think, something like that. I'm going through a situation right now where I met someone and we built a strong long-distance relationship. We both listen to your podcast, so we did it right. Limited texting, prioritized FaceTime and real conversations, and checked in regularly. Felt healthy and emotionally safe. We were about 5 hours apart. Okay. So we spent a good amount of time together, even with the challenges. We had deep conversations and aligned our lives and the goals with each other. Okay. This all sounds great so far. And then I always am like, oh, I'm scared to read on. Then one weekend, she accidentally left her work phone at my house. I sent it back to her, but someone she described as an ex intercepted the package and everything fell apart. What? She abruptly cut things off, and that person later called me calmly, but revealed a completely different story about their relationship. Okay, can I know what happened, though? It made me realize I was unknowingly part of an affair, and I think a lot of people find themselves in the spot, the ones who weren't the cheater or the cheated on partner, but someone who was in love and completely blindsided. Someone who had a real relationship, but then this. People who genuinely didn't know they were involved in a triangle, who did have something real and healthy, and now don't know how to process it. It's really fucking real. What does healing look like for someone in this position? Do we treat it like a normal breakup, go no contact, try to move on, or is there room for something more nuanced when we know that person still loved us, but panicked or collapsed under pressure? Do we hold space for the possibility of return, or is that just self-betrayal? Thanks for the work you're doing. I know I'm not the only one listening. This is an ad by BetterHelp. A holiday is great, but it's not really a long-term solution to stress, babes. I mean, listen, we just had an amazing 3-day weekend and I came back And boy, oh boy, I was overwhelmed and I was not ready to get back to it. And that's why I love therapy so much, because they can help you navigate whatever challenges the workday or any day might bring. Therapy changed the game for me. I didn't understand how to sit in my discomfort. I didn't understand what emotions that I was having. I didn't understand how to get curious and show myself compassion. I just knew how to do what I had always done, which was attack myself and put myself down. And what I love so much is that with over 300,000 therapists, BetterHelp is the world's largest online therapy platform, having served over 5 million people globally. And I am so proud to have been one of them. I have been on BetterHelp for 8 years now. It's been amazing. And it works. All right. The app store rating of 4.9 out of 5 based on over 1.7 million client reviews. And I love it. It's convenient. It's so easy. And you can join a session with a therapist, the click of a button, helping fit therapy into your busy life. So as the largest online therapy provider in the world, BetterHelp can provide access to mental health professionals with a diverse variety of expertise. Our listeners get 10% off their first month at betterhelp.com/Sabrina. That's BetterHelp, HELP.com/Sabrina. Okay, Ronnie, so let's talk about some stuff here. First of all, I'm so fucking sorry you're dealing with this. That is wild. And this is what I mean, too, that, like, you're doing your part. You're keeping your side of the street clean. Like, I get it. Like, I'll hear those all the time. People be like, I did everything and it didn't work out. And it's like, I am not telling you guys to do stuff with a level of certainty, but this is the steps that we can take so that no matter what, you'll be okay. Like, this, that's a true blind side. Like, you did not know. And this person obviously was being inauthentic and lying to you, right? That we know. And so I'm sorry about that, like, first off. But I think here, I'm a little confused. So you're sending her a package. How the fuck did her ex find out about the package? How did her ex intercept it? Did she have, who had the tracking? So if you text her the tracking saying, hey, you left your phone, I'm sending it to you, that person would have had to take the tracking, intercept. So I'm confused, unless that's, she lives with this person. But then if you visited, how did you not know? I'm just confused. I'm not blaming or shaming anybody. I'm just trying to understand how the fuck this person intercepted the package is my first question. I'm genuinely confused. Then to say she abruptly cut things off and that person, so then the partner calls you to let you know what's going on. So I think that's where I'm confused here by asking if this is different, because you're saying, do we go no contact to try to move on? Or is there room for something more nuanced when we know that person still loved us but panicked or collapsed under pressure? What bullshit excuses are you giving? What do you mean they panicked and collapsed under pressure? How did they panic and collapse under pressure when you have unknowingly been part of an affair because they were cheating on their partner and you didn't know and they didn't tell you and they weren't honest with you? How is that collapsing and pressuring? That's what I mean by, like, I think that there's a little in there trying to find excuse. Like, no, but they loved us and they're human and it's okay. And it's like, yeah, no, two conflicting thoughts. You're right. They're human. And that's really shitty. And I'm sorry that that person felt like this is how they had to do it. But that doesn't mean that I'm still going to overlook everything that they did and continue to allow myself to be part of a chess piece in their game. And so I guess that's where I'm just a little confused, is the possibility of return. I'm confused. This person cheated on their partner with you? You were part of an affair. I guess that's what I'm saying. I'm like, I'm just confused as to how this all happened, because you're saying it made me realize you were part of an affair. And it's like, so you guys were together and this other person is the other person, or they were together and you're the other person? So in what world? There are now three people part of this. What do we want this person back for? I guess that's where I want to get back to. And it's okay. Again, none of this is shame or blame. I'm genuinely trying to understand, what does that voice inside of you say that you need them back for? And again, who do they think they're talking to? Is it this person that you dated? Or does that little think they're talking to somebody else? Or does that little maybe talking to you of, hey, maybe you can come back to me and maybe you and I can reconcile and we don't need this person. But what are we wanting them for? And it's, again, so is somebody treating you, is love to you somebody that lies to you, somebody that plays games with you, and somebody that's not being honest and real with you? And that's okay if you're like, yeah, that to me sounds like love. Okay, where did we learn that from? What is your little need right now to feel supported by you? What does your little right now need in order to feel okay to let this person go? And maybe your little the whole time has never really cared about the other person. I'm sure it cared about him. Don't get me wrong. Or them. You know, I'm sure that this person, you had a nice connection. But the fact is, this person was being really inauthentic to you and lying to you and not being truthful. And I'm sorry for that. And I hope if they're listening to this, that they can take notes. And I hope if they're listening to this episode, that they can understand that what they did was hurtful. And that what they did needs to be accounted for, and to then just abruptly end it with you and then have the other person, it's like, that's what I'm saying. So what is it that you want back from this person? Because it doesn't even sound like they're remorseful or that they're even asking for any kind of anything from you besides you now creating a space, hoping that they're going to still choose you. And baby, I'm sorry. I don't know how else to say it. I'm sorry that this happened. And I am so sorry that this is your experience. But I need you to know that based at least what I'm reading here, I don't know what your part in it that you can take ownership outside of just saying, I trusted this person and that's okay. right? Like, you're a human. But that's why there was a little bit of nuance. But nonetheless, I want us to look at anybody that's listening right now. If you're hung up on somebody and your thoughts are maybe they'll come back or maybe they can reconcile, or, oh, if I go no contact, is that going to ruin our opportunity? Then what I hate to say is that you've already self-abandoned trying to keep this person in your life, and you don't actually need them back, bitch. You need yourself back. You need to come back home to you and stop waiting for other people to choose you. Because when you do come back to you, you'll start to look at shit like this and go, I fucking deserve better. And this is bullshit. And you'd be right. Okay, let's see. Hi, I've been listening to all of your podcasts, which have helped me so much to understand why I go for emotionally unavailable men, because I'm somewhat emotionally unavailable. Proud of you guys. I love it. I've been in a situationship with a guy for over three years, baby. At the start, he was married and then he left his wife. We continued messing around, but he actually went out on dates with other girls, but he never took me out. Okay, I have a lot to think about this. It has always been about sex. He knows how I feel and I keep distancing myself because how it makes me feel. But every week he contacts me to come around for the obvious and I cannot say no. No. You can say no. You're choosing not to say no. This is where language matters. It's not that you cannot. Your mouth moves. You are choosing to not. And that's okay, baby. But I am not going to coddle and be like, yeah, you're right. You can't. Yes, you can. Yeah, you can. But that's okay. It feels scary and uncomfortable. I've only ever been in physical and emotionally abusive relationships. So because he isn't hitting me or saying horrible things, I don't know how to let go. Well, baby, what I would say is this what you think you deserve? What part of you, every time you say, I can't say no, who does that part think you're talking to? Because letting go of him is choosing, because I think at the end of the day, this has nothing to do with him. First of all, you've been 3 years. What do you think is going to change? He was cheating on his partner with you, saying he was going to leave his partner. Then he left his partner, didn't leave him for you though, left him to go and date other people. The reason he keeps doing this is because you allow it. He doesn't respect your boundaries, just like you don't respect your boundaries, which is why Britt, Frank, and I created the breakup or the self-love course. This is literally the reason, is because we wanted to give you guys actionable tools to learn. How do you come back home to yourself? What does it mean to love yourself? Because in these moments, this is where it belongs. Is loving yourself doesn't mean that we just say yes to everybody else, hoping that we're going to be chosen. Loving ourselves means think of future you. Every time he calls, I want you to think about how you feel when he walks out the fucking door, how empty you feel, because then there's going to be that part of you that's like, but maybe this time he's going to choose us. And then I want you to ask yourself and say, who are you talking to? Are you talking to him? Or are you talking to mom or dad? Because did that work? Did they ever change? No. So what makes me think this guy is? It's been 3 years. Talk to that part like you would talk to your friend. Your friend comes to you and goes, oh my God, but maybe this time is it. And you're like, are you going to keep being delusional? Or do you want to hear the truth? The truth is that you're letting this person walk all over you. And I am sorry that you believe that this is what you're deserving and worthy of. And I am here to let you know that you deserve more. I am here to let you know that I have your fucking back. What do you need from me? What is that part need? Because what happens is, so as Britt Frank says in her book, which I'm reading right now, it's so great, that we mind fuse. Now, that's obviously not like mind fusion. If you look at it like in, you know, in the science world, they're going to be like, that's not it. But what she means by that is we have all these parts. And when we fuse with our parts, so instead of saying, well, right now I have anxiety in my body, or I feel right, like that's a part of me. There's a jealous part that's here right now. When we fuse with it, then it's, no, I can't be without this person. I can't say no. No. There's a part of you that can't say no, but you can. So what we need to start to do is separate. There's a part of me that feels that can't say no. There's a part of me that feels, right? So let's first separate from it. Then we can get curious. Okay, what does that part believe if I do say no is going to happen? What does that part think is going to happen if I stand up for myself? What does that part need from me in order to let this person go? Then we can start to say, okay, then what are my choices, right? Like I could regulate my nervous system and come back to a space of having choices. And if that's not okay, then that's okay. Maybe we then go back to regulating. We go back to getting curious and sitting with our body, because you're not going to be able to come and access choices. And then we can even go a step further of like, can I ask my little permission to speak to her? Are the parts willing to come out and talk to me? Yeah? Okay, then let's have a conversation. And like Britt says, have a cup of coffee with your part. And guys, I am so excited because we have Dick Schwartz coming out this month, who created IFS. He created Parts Work. So like, we're going to go even more in depth on how to do this. I think it's next week. I think by the time this episode comes out, it's like a few days later. So don't worry, babies. But we have to start to understand, yes, you do have choices. Yes, you can make choices for yourself, but we're fusing to those parts saying, no, I'm just anxious. No, I just can't do this. Or no, I can't do that. And it's like, yes, you can. But we have to get curious and say, well, what are my choices? This episode is sponsored by Function Health. I am obsessed with Function Health. You know what I know? Because they're a platform that gives you access to the kind of data most people never see and the insights to actually take action on your health. You can test over 160 biomarkers from heart and hormones to toxins, inflammation, and stress, all inside Function. And to be honest, y'all, that's actually what saved me with my mold detox, because we started to see levels were off and my hormones were being a little funk, which then gave us the inclination, wait a minute, we need to do something here. And thanks to Function, I was able to actually get the help that I need. And even think about right now, people are having low energy, fragile mood, libido is MIA. And Function helps you find the signals under the symptoms. So testosterone and DHEAS link to libido and fertility. Cortisol involved in stress, inflammation, immunity, and metabolism. Vitamin D and magnesium are key to a healthy musculoskeletal and immune system. Guys, it's really, really important to check your levels. And the reality is that not everybody is going to help you do that. And that's why I love Function. They give you access to every test you could possibly imagine. And y'all, the discount is so good. So lean more and join using my link. The first 1,000 people get a $100 credit towards their membership. That is huge. Visit www.functionhealth.com/Sabrina. All right. Next one. So this is a trigger warning, guys. We do talk about SA. So if this is uncomfortable, please fast forward through this question. But please know I wanted to give you the opportunity because this person has a very valid question that I think we should answer. Hi, Sabrina. I love your podcast. I have a question I hope you might answer. I just restarted dating after a years-long break due to a SA which left me with permanent impairments. The injuries are invisible when I'm clothed but create a lot of limitations in my life. I'm also pretty scared to be alone or intimate with a new person. I thought no one would ever want to date me again, but after lots of therapy, I began to remember I'm also pretty awesome and fun. I am so fucking proud of you. So, dating. I don't want to seem secretive, but I worry people will see me as damaged. How much and when should I disclose about the situation in dating? I have to disclose something about the injury so that the intimacy doesn't hurt me. And because I can't do things like sports, the actual story I never plan to share. My deepest thanks is if you can answer this. Dating advice is everywhere, but I don't see anything navigating it after SA and physical trauma like this. You're wonderful. Thanks for the great content, Angie. Oh, Angie. First of all, baby, you are a goddamn warrior because you're not letting what happened to you. And you know what? I'm going to be vulnerable for a second. I was assaulted when I was 19. It was a gentleman I knew and I was asleep and I woke up and I wasn't asleep alone anymore. And I will just say the rest took its shape. And I woke up in the morning and he didn't leave. And I was crying hysterically when he left. And years later, he texted me. I'd blocked him on everything. And he found, you know, new numbers. And I'll never forget, he texted me. And I told him, I know what you did to me that night. And I never said anything. I was 19. I was terrified. And his response was, oh, bullshit. You cried when I left because you were so sad I was leaving. That happened. And I remember I shamed myself and I blamed myself a lot. I was so embarrassed about what happened. I was scared to tell anybody to this day. Like, you guys are the first people I've really told. Like, I haven't even told some of my friends. I just kind of just moved on with it. And it's happened twice in my life, when I was 19 and when I was 21. And this one, both times were people that were at my head, like friends that lived with me, had people come over and I had rejected these people. And I both times woke up in my room. Well, the first time was I was passed out asleep. I had gone to bed like by myself and woke up to his hand over my mouth. And then the second time was this guy that my friend was dating his best friend. And we were all out. And I told her, I was like, I'm not interested in the friend. I went home an hour before everybody else. I came home, I showered. I didn't hear them come in. It was like maybe 30 minutes. And I came out and as I walked into my bed, and she and the guy were wasted and they were in the room. And I think they went out like to go to his house. And as I opened my bedroom door, the guy came from behind and grabbed me and pushed me up against the wall and said, don't scream. And yeah, so I just wanted to share. I understand. And my heart goes out to any person that has ever experienced this. And even as a woman, how many times I've said, fine, let me just sleep with this, or let me just do it so that they can leave me alone, or I'm scared. This guy's 6'4", and I'm terrified of what's going to happen. And so what I would say is this, there's nothing wrong with you. You are not a damaged person. You are not a flawed garment. You are nothing of that. You're a survivor. You're a survivor. And I don't even like for myself, I'm like, I'm a survivor, I'm not a victim. And I look at this as a few things. And I consulted Scott, you know, Dr. Scott Lyons, one of my closest, and he's a trauma-informed specialist. And I wanted to make sure that I was giving you guys the right advice. And he said, it's perfect what you would offer. The first thing is, you don't need to offer this early on. I think you have to remember too, like intimacy, that's not owed to anybody. You don't have to be intimate with somebody. I didn't sleep with Ryan because I wanted to in that night. I've dated other guys outside of Ryan that I didn't sleep with that early on. Like, we did it on 4 or 5 dates and I still hadn't been physical with them. So you have every right. Now for me, I didn't share my personal story of SA for quite a bit of time because it didn't impact anything. And so if it's not impacting anything, right, then you tell somebody that when you feel you could trust them, trust is conditional and built over time, right? I'm not going to go in there and start fucking screaming and crying about all my traumas. I don't know this person. And so that's the first step. Then I think the second step is that it's about being honest about like, hey, I wanted to share with you that intimacy takes me a minute to get to. And I wanted to share why. Is this something that you'd be interested in hearing? And if they're like, yes, absolutely, can you share with me? Then I think that's when you can say, you know, years ago, I had a sexual, you know, assault and it left me here, like with this. And I not going to get back. You know, if you don't feel comfortable getting into it, I'm not going to get too deep into it. But moral of the story is, here's what I deal with and here are the limitations that I have. You don't have a fucking scarlet letter. You don't have to hide who you are and pretend to be something that you're not. You get to take up space. And I will tell you this right now. I will tell you this right fucking now. There's a difference between, like Ryan and I spoke about this, there's a difference between when you date somebody who has had trauma in the past that is very clearly not moved on with it. You know what I mean? We've all met those people that you're like, oh, okay, wow, this is very much still impacting your day-to-day, and that's okay. I have nothing but love for these people, but I don't think that's the appropriate thing because it's a lot. Your partner is like, how do you want them? Because especially when you don't know who these people are. That was one thing a guy told me when I had trauma dumped on him, not about this, but about family, was he looked at me and he was like, I think you're amazing and I really like you. He was like, but I don't know how to support you. I don't know you. Like, I don't know how to show up for you in a way that makes us both feel comfortable. And so we want to be cognizant about that. Of like, we don't know who these people are. So we don't need to tell them things about us that they could use later or manipulate or control. No. But I do think that you have every right to take up that space because I'll say this, bitch, if the person that you're dating gets spooked or scared because you had an experience in your past that you are moving through, that you are just saying, hey, I might have some stuff, but these are the limitations. It's not like they touch your arm and you start screaming and crying or snap at them. That's what I mean behind the difference between like someone that is actively working through their shit and saying, listen, like I got this down, but you should know what I went through versus I haven't tended to any of this and you're going to have to deal with it, right? Or versus like if you've been with somebody and God forbid something happens, well, yeah, you're going to hope that your partner's still going to be by your side. But if you telling somebody after 4, 5, 6 dates about your situation and they leave, oh, baby, they were never anybody that should ever continue to stay in your life. You deserve somebody who doesn't, you deserve a fucking adult, not a child who's going to get spooked out because you lived a life before them. And I get it, right? It's a difference of someone saying, hey, I feel overwhelmed. I don't know how to support you through this versus thank you so much for fucking sharing that. That takes a lot of strength. And I'm here for that. And I want to make sure that you feel comfortable, supported, and loved in the ways that you fucking deserve. That's what you deserve and nothing less. All right, babes. Let's do a profile. Yay. Okay. We got a dude's profile. I love it. You can send in male, female, they, I don't care, whatever you guys identify as, we will profile audit whoever, whoever, however. It's funny. So many dudes message me being like, your advice works for guys. Why do people say it doesn't, like, does this apply for men? I'm like, yeah, everything I say is they. It's just when people write in or ask specific questions about men, I'll answer that. But I only speak of my personal experience because I have not dated women, so I wouldn't have anything else. But I talk to anybody. All right, Jacob. So you guys are going to see, we're putting them on the screen so you can see the profile too. I'm so excited. Now we can do this together. Okay. So cute photo, main photo. Okay. Then we go, teach me something about cooking. I can cook anything you want as long as that what you want is Italian. Then we go into as an engineer, blah, blah. Okay. Then we have the photos to the group I'm terrible at. My simple pleasure is random finds at the record shop, time with the family in a hot and ready Krispy Kreme donut. And then another photo. And then you should not go out with me if you don't like cats. I've got two little hoodlums running around the house, group photo, and then I believe, and then a band photo. Okay. So first off, I think the profile is cute. I don't think it's like the end of the world. I'll say the first photo, not the strongest in the world. I'd like to be able to see your face a little bit clearer. Like, it's a cute photo. I think we can move that down, but I would like something clear. Remember, 60% of people make their determination on an app within the first 2 to 3 seconds. And I know people, listen, if you don't want to date in the apps, then this part of the show ain't for you. But there is still a big bad world out there that does date on apps. There is still, because we have this fetishization that meeting somebody in person all of a sudden means it's going to go differently than it would on an app. But it's the same humans that are out in the world. And it's just because we've put these judgments. And again, I'm not forcing anybody to use dating apps if you don't want to. I don't give a fuck. You do whatever the fuck you want. But then you got to get ready to go out in person and be rejected. And you got to get ready to go out in person and have someone look and go, I'm not interested in that person. That's okay. That's part of life. Just wanted to preface. So I think we can do a stronger first photo, just something a little bit more flattering of you so I could see a little bit more of your face. Teach me something about cooking. I think it's cute, but I also think at the same time, you're saying cooking, teach you something about it. I can cook almost anything as long as what you want is Italian. It's like, so then what are they going to teach you about it? So I think it's a little bit of a like, okay, but you're saying you can cook anything, but to have them teach you something. It's cute. I don't know if that's your strongest profile prompt because I think it's like, what are they going to say of like, I can teach you how to make this because here's my only caveat. Then that forces it to being like, then we're future faking. You know what I mean? Of like, well, you're not going to do it on our first date. So then what are you going to do? Oh, we should do that on our second or third date. Oh, well, we're already putting that in there. So, or maybe it's something of like cooking class for a first date. I don't care. Right. But maybe we just go a little further. This episode is sponsored by Momentous. Y'all, you know, I take my health very, very seriously. And that is why I partnered with Momentous, because they have a true purity standard for their products. And I am so excited to share that. So it's not just a multivitamin. No, it's a foundational system with iron, calcium, and vitamin D3 in their most bioavailable forms. These are three nutrients that are often overlooked, but critical for energy, bone health, recovery, and resilience. Two of the three came on my blood work that were low, and I am so grateful. And I love that they have smart dosing protocol. So the AM is iron and B complex with vitamin C, yay. PM is calcium and vitamin D3 with olive oil. And the AM and PM doses are optimized to avoid nutrient interference and boost absorptions. Plus, it's built on the Momentous standard, a higher bar for scientific rigor, ingredient sourcing, and transparency. I just finished the collagen, and baby, you already know I got two more containers on their way. I take creatine every single day because it's really, really important to take care of my health from the inside out. And this also helps with the gut-brain axis, with anxiety, all of those things. So guys, head to livemomentous.com and use code Sabrina for up to 35% off your first order. Again, that's Sabrina at livemomentous.com. Last time, babies, 35% off your first order. That's Sabrina at livemomentous.com. Then we go into the second photo with your friend. It's okay. It's okay. It's cute. It's very millennial. So I'm here for it. Together we can be a terrible at. I think you can lose the photo. I think you can find a more flattering photo. It does nothing. I didn't even notice that was you because you're half kind of blurry in the mode of it. And what I notice is a guy in the background and a bunch of stuff. It took me a minute to even realize that was your photo. Simple Pleasures. I think that's cute. A little... yeah, maybe random finds at the record shop, like maybe put in parentheses, like my best find so far has been, you know, like for me, it was Led Zeppelin 4 was my best, like, because Since I've Been Loving You is my favorite song. And it was the first record I ever, maybe put like my first record I ever bought was Led Zeppelin, like taught me, you know, like give something for people to engage with. Time with family. I mean, a hot ready Krispy Kreme donut. I am so fucking in that with you. So I like that. The next photo of you with the sports. Again, I think we could do better. Again, I just don't think it's the lighting. I don't think it's adding anything. You should not go out with me if you don't like cats. Yeah, I mean, sure. But I think we can also maybe have... I think what I'm noticing here is like, what do I know about you? What do I know about you? Is that like you got two cats and you can cook, but you like Italian food. And then you go to record shops. But I don't know really anything else about you. So maybe it's like you should not go out with me if, you know, you're not growth-minded and driven. You're not somebody that's looking for depth in a real relationship. Oh, P.S., you also don't like cats. I got two of them. You know what I mean? Like, can we give a little bit more to where people will feel like they're getting to know you? Because let me ask you, how is somebody going to respond to that prompt? Oh, you have two cats? What kind? Okay, so you're going to talk about your fucking cats the whole time? That's what I mean by like, is that an icebreaker? Is that a conversation starter? Meh. Next photo, you're blurry. I can barely see like details of it. And then the last one's cute. I mean, it's okay. Like, I like that. A favorite memory of mine. Maybe on the overlay, we can say like, this was, you know, something that like, that's my dad or something like that. So that we could be like, oh my God, that's so sweet. Like how long you've been playing. Like, I actually like that photo. I think that's cute. And I think, you know, guys, when it comes to dating apps, we got to remember you are trying to optimize. This is your first impression. You are optimizing to catch people's attention so that we can stand out a cut above the rest. It's the same as like, if I were going out, am I going to go out in my pajamas? Probably not, because I want to make sure that I stand out and I don't just blend in with everybody else looking like shit at the grocery store. So it's the same with dating profiles. And I just want you to remember, the whole point of these prompts is to elicit a response to start a conversation, is to talk about it. And like, I love the full body. I like having photos with your friends. I think we can have a bit more like, again, your best bet is when you go out with your buddies, tell them, hey, could you get candid shots of me? Even if they're like, the best one is when your friend says your name, Sabrina, and you just look over of like, yeah. That's what I learned for modeling for years. The best shots are not when you try to pose. They're the ones in between of when you go to fix your hair, when you go to flip it, and all of a sudden you get somebody, this like really cool like smile of you doing something, when you're like going to pull up your pants. The moments are in between. It's kind of like a metaphor for life, isn't it? Right? It's not really at the final destinations. It's what happens in the middle. So have your friend just be like, hey, could you take photos of me while we go to brunch? I need better dating photos. And like one of my clients, I love her. She did that. And she was getting them a little too posed. Where it was like her holding up like a deck of cards, looking at the camera. And it's like, that's not what I mean. It's not glamour shots, but have something where it feels more authentically, like a good smile photo of just like looking at the camera and just smiling. Just let people feel who you are so that when they go out with you, they can feel that presence. And it helps you, because the goal of all of this is to help you guys have better experiences and become a better buyer. Because with that profile, it's cute, but like I could see how people would just be like, next, because there's nothing about it that's like, oh, this guy's super interesting. I really like this. It's just very like, oh, okay. Yeah, like even now I'm trying to remember what I read on the profile, and I just keep remembering cats and a record. Like, that's what I keep going back to. And it's like, I want you people to remember you for more than that. I want people to remember you for depth, for having something fun to say, for having something quirky and unique. I can't tell you how many guys, when I had you a sign of, you should not go out with me if you're not growth minded and blah, blah, blah. So many people were like, God, this is such a breath of fresh air. I haven't seen people talk like this. So be the breath of fresh air. Be the version that's a little different than the fucking echo chamber that we're used to. I love you, babies. I do. Thank you guys for spending another week with me in the trenches and getting into it. As always, guys, you know, if you need anything, there are the link in show notes. You can join a course. Please, please join one of the courses. You get free group coaching every single month with any course that you join. You get joined into a Telegram group and then Sheila's in there and you guys are there with community members. It's not like a free forum where people, it's not a Facebook group. Like, I think people misconstrue that and start asking specific questions, but it is a space where, like, if you have a question about the course of like, hey, I read this and I'm a little confused. Is there any clarity on it. Sheila will coordinate all of the meetings every single week in the Telegram. So you're part of something. And then that way, when you're in the courses and you can come back to them, there's meditations, there's worksheets, there's journal prompts. That way you can really start to build on. And then every month you have the community and the support. You want to work with me? I am here. My books are open while my book is being written. So we're in the process of all of that. Or if you want to just listen to the podcast, please don't forget, rate and review the show, share it with a friend. And guys, I'm going to start doing some more live stuff. So I'm hoping to come to a city near you. Put it in the comments. Let me know where you guys want me to come and I'll start to tally it up. Get the gang together and let's make it a good fucking time. And the only, because let me be honest, the only reason I'm here is because of you guys. I'm only here because you guys show up every day. You fucking send it to your friends. You leave the reviews. You show up and you're there for me like I'm there for you. And that's the only way that I'm going to continue. Otherwise, I can just close it all and be done with it if nobody's going to listen. So I want to thank you guys for allowing me to have my dream come true and being here to support you guys in the ways that I have been able to. And I just wanted to let you guys know I am so fucking grateful for you. And I am so excited to see where we're going to go. So don't forget, write in questions in the trenches at sabrinazohar.com. Send them in. Send me your profile. Send me your questions. Send me your screenshots. You can send text messages between you and the person. Whatever it is that you want, send them my way. I got you, babies. And until next time.